This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 255 for Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we already do. Joining me tonight, Lou Page, for the first time in a long time. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. It's been way too long.
It has been too long, but important life stuff was happening. You're in a new house.
Yes, I am. And the last time I was supposed to be on, my office wasn't even set up.
Right. Yeah. That mayhem of like, so every, yay, it's done. Crap. Everything's in boxes.
Well, literally I think the last time I was supposed to be on, I had put my new desk together for my office.
Right.
And I had hooked up my computer and one of my monitors and a keyboard and mouse. But everything else was in boxes, and I had only done that so that I could pay a few bills online. Oh, I'm supposed to do Zamp this week, and I'm supposed to do Citadel Cafe, and nothing's working. Well, that's not going to happen tonight.
Yeah. Well, I remember talking to you on Discord about it and saying congratulations, but in person, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Phenomenal. I think that's great. Were you guys in the house for Thanksgiving in the U.S.?
Yes. We moved in the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And that made for an interesting adventure. my wife originally wanted us to have Thanksgiving at our house, and I went, everybody be basically eating out of boxes, and we didn't have a table,
right.
And it was going to be a mess. So instead, we're having everybody here for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day instead.
Right on. And if memory serves, you guys do, is it a traditional German thing? Yeah.
Normally my mother-in-law makes it, but this year, because we're having it here, my wife is going to be the one that makes it. My mother-in-law is supposed to come over early and help us.
Oh, right on. It's funny. We're at that age where the going to mom's place for Christmas dinner or dad's place or whatever the parent unit usually is slowly, I'm noticing with my friends, shifting to the grandparents or the parents coming to your place.
Yes.
You know, and I think depends on whether people have a new house, whether they've got kids, you know, depending on where people are, the largest place to entertain also usually wins.
And we're still in the technically unpacking phase. I mean, the upstairs is like the living room, the kitchen, our bedroom, and we are pretty much the only finished rooms. There's nothing else that needs to be done in those rooms. But all the other rooms, we have two other bedrooms, and it's literally like one room has got extra furniture and a pile of boxes, and the other furniture has been designated our cat's litter room and feeding room.
Right.
So that I don't have to worry about their mess straying into the rest of the house.
Right.
And except for that, like, everything is in the basement. We have a half-finished basement. And it's literally, I have probably 60 boxes down here I got to go through.
Wow.
And some of this stuff was my mom's. Some of this stuff, my father-in-law brought 40 boxes with him on our moving day.
Wow.
Of stuff that was supposedly my wife's. But as we go through the boxes, we realize that none of it's my wife's. It's really just stuff he wanted to get rid of.
Don't you love that?
Oh,
I say that with quotation marks. That's sarcasm.
So we got that. We had our own stuff because we were living with a friend for a year. So about 80% of our stuff was in boxes and storage, except for the everyday stuff. So it's literally like, oh yeah, oh I forgot we owned this. Oh, yeah. Oh, that I thought we got rid of those dishes. Oh wait, that blanket. Where did we get the blanket? Literally like every day we go through stuff. But because of the holidays, we haven't had time to go through more boxes. It's been like, we'll go through more boxes in the new year. That's,
yeah.
That we're at a stopping point.
Yeah. Well, and that, I mean, it's probably a good time of year too, because there'll be lots of places that'll be looking for, because I mean, charities are over, are usually, I, you know, just for the sake of a stereotype, probably overrun with stuff around the holidays.
Yeah.
But then they have dry spells, you know, January, February, there's nothing going on. I'm lucky in that, in terms of like having stuff and getting rid of stuff, both my mother and stepfather volunteer at a charity run kind of, store, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what New Boundaries is, but it employs a bunch of people with challenges, and they have a lot of donations and a lot of stuff to sort through. And so that's essentially what happens there. So if I have spare things like dishes or clothes or like a bunch of different things that I don't need anymore, or I've moved on, or like I don't need two Bluetooth speakers, or, you know, whatever those things are, I can usually find an outlet for them.
Yeah,
you know, if New Boundaries doesn't take them, then like Barry and Mum will know somebody that does. A church, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we have a Goodwill, a Salvation Army, and there's a third place,
mm-hmm.
all within like a 3-minute ride from my house.
Nice, yeah.
And I've been to Goodwill now so many times, I think I'm on a first name basis with the kid at the collection booth.
Yeah, well, that's good though. I mean, It's a good thing to kind of move forward, and nice that I was thinking as you're describing, you know, like what's going on with your new house. Nice that you have that shifting space, like the unfinished basement or the cat room, where you can kind of like put boxes interim, sort out a room, and then it's done, and then you're slowly but surely going through. I've been in the same apartment now for like 15 years, and I still have, and people I'm sure will make fun of me or roll their eyes, but I still have a room. That the bed is up against the wall, like folded up against the wall, because it's just, it's where I've keep the door I have yet to hang, the closet doors I haven't painted, like all the things that I'm going to, you know, get to eventually, which never happens. Those closet doors have been off their hinges for a year. But like having that room though, allows me, having been in this space for so long, to have a tidy living room. I don't have a cluttered kitchen. Like I only have the things that I need, because I was able to just like move everything out of the kitchen that I didn't need, put it all in a bunch of boxes in that room. And then the next time that Mom and Barry were by that summer with the car, I just said, look, here is a bunch of, you know, kitchen utensils and things that you can take to New Boundaries or donate to whatever, the church, whatever, and just get rid of them. Just get them out of my apartment. And rather than like someone showing up and saying like, well, now we have to go through your kitchen because you can't move it someplace. So it just has to stay in the room where you don't want it until you're done with it. And this way, at least I was able to sort it out on my own. So having that kind of shifting space, I find, is always really important.
Well, that too. And like I said, we just moved in, and literally, no joke, that weekend before we moved in, I had our entire first floor refinished.
Wow.
'Cause it's all hardwood floors. And the house we moved into was built in 1968. And I don't think anybody's refinished these floors since 1968.
Wow.
So you can only imagine what they look like. Yeah. It was the one thing when we looked at the house that I looked at my wife and I went, honey, I really like the house. So we got to do something about these floors.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly enough, it was way cheaper to get these floors refinished than I expected it to be.
Well, that's good. That's a nice surprise when you're spending a large sum of money on a home.
It was literally about a third of what I thought it was going to cost me to get it done. Wow. I was like, okay, this works.
When do you start?
And then the other issue with the house when we moved in was there was no cap on the chimney.
Okay, yeah.
And so rather than do that, I had what's called a fireplace insert installed. And it's basically like a potbelly stove that's installed inside the fireplace.
Hmm.
So it's like a wood burning stove with a door and everything, and it's even got a blower to blow the hot air out.
Okay.
And it installs right into the it fits right into your fireplace, and it's still a pipe instead of running up your chimney, and the pipe runs right up your chimney instead. And they put a cap on it.
So the cap is inside the chimney.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And it's basically like having a wood stove, but instead it's right in your fireplace.
Mm. We had, when I was growing up, we had a wood stove that was on a hearth. So it was obviously a fireplace at one point.
Yeah.
And then they converted it into a wood stove thing. And it was,
this is kind of like that.
Yeah. It was far too big for the home. Like I don't remember how big it was, but it was 3 feet wide and 2 feet deep. And I mean, it was a bungalow. Like there's certain points when there was, you know, a couple of logs in the fire where like you couldn't be in the basement because it was just too hot.
Yeah. The other thing that this house came with is we didn't even know if the oil furnace was going to work.
Oh, wow.
Because, well, we knew it was going to work because it heats all the water in the house. But the people we bought it from didn't use the oil furnace to heat the house, even though it had a thermostat for it. Mm. They used a heat pump. I don't know if you've ever seen a heat pump. But I'll tell you right now, that's the most worthless piece of junk I've ever had in my house, in a, in an apartment or a house ever.
Yeah.
It blows lukewarm air that eventually ups the temperature in your house. But it's really energy efficient.
They were all the rage around here for a while.
Yeah. The only thing I'm looking forward to it is apparently it's a fabulous air conditioner in the summer.
Yes. They tend to be used more around here for summertime.
Okay, because here they're used for heating the houses all winter, and I'm like, no. So yeah. first thing I did was put in a new thermostat for the furnace, and then we got the fireplace insert. And as soon as the first thing we do every night now when we get home, I got a cord of wood delivered, and nice. We put like 2 logs on the fire. It lasts from the moment we get home till about the time we go to bed, and we've been in the house almost a month and a half, almost 2 months.
Yeah.
And we've only used a quarter tank of oil.
Wow. That's really good. And yeah, plus, I'm insanely jealous of your fireplace. Like, that's living in an apartment for years. The best I got is Netflix fireplace, which is not the same.
Oh, no. I've already warned my wife. Christmas Day, it will be the Netflix fireplace over the real fireplace.
What?
Well, my TV's over my fireplace.
That's amazing. Instagram that, please, and thank you.
I will.
That will be hilarious. Oh, my God. It's been a long time since we've had you on the show. So what's going on with Zombies Ate My Podcast?
We took a little bit of a hiatus because of my moving, and Bob had some work stuff going on. So we took about 4 weeks off. And we just started back, and we are getting into finishing up this mid-season finale of Walking Dead. We got about 3 or 4 episodes to talk about this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which we usually try to do 1 or 2 every when we do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we've so far behind that it's going to be 4 episodes this time.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's going to be a big mid-season finale. Some deaths happen and some surprises. So it's going to be interesting.
Right on. When was the last aired? It just happened. Just this week. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it's been so long since I've watched the Walking Dead, but I wasn't sure.
I'll be completely honest with you. You're not missing anything.
Oh, really?
Show is about if the ratings are any indication, and some of the dialogue from the cast, it sounds like this won't be their last season. But they're starting to wind down for an end.
Yeah. Well, what season is this?
This is 8.
Oh, yeah. See, like, unless you got something really good, pushing into 7, 8, 9, that's hard.
Well,
that's really hard.
I forget what site it was. Some site just did a statistic, and it was showing their ratings, and it was like it premiered at like 4 million. And then by the end of season 4, they were up to like 12 million. And then since the end of season 4, it's like the numbers have slowly gone down episode by episode.
Mm.
And then there'll be an episode where like somebody dies, and then that episode will get a huge spike in viewers. But then the rest of the week, and it's like, yeah, see, I think they know they're on their way out.
Mm. So the last time that Ryan was on the show, he was saying that Fear the Walking Dead is the one to watch.
It was.
Oh, no.
We were so excited this past season because the first half of Fear the Walking Dead was awesome. It took us in a different location. It surprised us with an interesting new villain. And the villain was not what we were expecting.
Mm.
And then literally they came back from their mid-season finale. And it was like, oh, yeah, all that stuff you were excited about, we're going to throw that out the window, and we're going to move you to a new location that doesn't make any sense. We're going to throw a bunch of new villains at you that don't make any sense. We're going to explain a bunch of stuff that doesn't make any sense. And we're going to take all the action that was had you all hyped last half of the season out of the show. And it was like, oh, okay. And now next season, they're taking cast members from regular Walking Dead and adding them to Fear the Walking Dead, which doesn't make any sense because they take place on two different timelines.
Mm.
But like I said, Zamp, we pretty much, I think I'm the only one. I'm the one that literally like, yeah, this is in its death throes now. And everybody else is like, no, it's still good. It's still good. I'm like, yeah, keep lying to yourself.
Well, I mean, it's important to have a balance, right? It's important. Yes. It's important to have the swaying opinions, the dissenting opinions, I guess. I checked out a long time ago for zombie stuff, but for me, when Smallville, I think, was probably the show that I followed that was the longest running, because that was like 10 years. Yep. And that was better in like 9, 10, but oh gosh,
they're in the middle there. There's some episodes in the middle. You go,
the seven, eight stuff was just anything that had to do with Doomsday, and because he was the paramedic guy, like it was dumb. It was like royally, royally dumb. And that's saying a lot for like, you know, a CW superhero show. Like it's, you're really kind of stretching the imagination to begin with. But I, for whatever reason, I find that, you know, a lot of shows start to stretch out. I'm actually glad that, Longmire, which is what I've been watching the last little while, wrapped things up in 6 seasons.
I don't see how they could have pushed it on much further than where they were.
No. And something that's nice about the switch, either in season 3 or season 4, I think it was season 4, was the first Netflix series.
Yep.
When it got canceled on A&E. And then moved to Netflix, they started one longer plot lines. So it was more of a season plot as opposed to an episodic. You'd still have some episodic stuff as kind of like a breath, but it wasn't like a lot of them.
Right.
And then on top of that, they also really pushed the characters farther, which led to the ultimate conclusion of like, okay, well, once this thing is fulfilled, like once this... Because Walt Longmire, the main character in the show, like he's got this thing for Night Horse and a bunch of other Irish mob guys. Like he's got this list. He's essentially, it's like Arya from Game of Thrones. Like she's got this list and no one knows what Arya's going to do when the list is done, right? And that's with Longmire, it was the same idea. Like he's supposed to, I'm assuming retire was the idea when he was going to, when he was finished this list. But he just had these people that he had left to get. And it was getting shorter quickly, you know, whether the bad guy died or, you know, or whether he was caught or whatever that happened to be. It started to wrap up a lot quicker. And what I find I really liked about this, and I think I might have mentioned this last week, is that now that it was a Netflix series for the last few seasons, the episodes didn't have to be 45 minutes. Like they could be an hour and five, they could be 55. Like, so the story,
there was one, I think was 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, and it made sense that it was that, you know, because you don't want it to be continued and you don't have to, you can just put it all together in one show. And I really enjoyed that kind of stuff. The only thing I feel, and I did pretty well with it. I didn't binge it. I kind of just watched one a day, you know, until I finished this.
Yeah. We watched, season. I think we watched like two a day or three a day.
I mean, I was already caught up. I had watched season 5 when it was on Netflix. So I was in that long waiting period to finish, you know, season 6, which was only 12 episodes, give or take. Something like that. But I really enjoyed it. And I was pretty much all the way through it last time when I talked about it. So I won't go into all that kind of stuff. But the finale in particular, so spoilers if you guys haven't watched it, tune out now. But Lou and I have both finished it. So I'm curious about this. So you had mentioned a little bit in pre-show that you felt that they wrapped things up in a nice little bow. Was there anything about that bow that you found just a little bit too tidy?
Her taking his place was a little, it wasn't what I was expecting for that character.
His daughter, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt the same way. I liked the nod. Like I liked the way that, you know, they're hammering a Longmire for sheriff sign. So like Longmire still goes on. Like it's Katie Longmire as opposed to Walt Longmire is hopefully going to be the sheriff. Like I thought that was a kind of a cool kind of like tip of the hat sort of thing and kept with a legacy. Because I'm pretty sure that the series is based on books, right?
Yes, it is.
And I'm betting that they probably, the books probably went on in the TV show, didn't cover all the books, you know?
I'm pretty sure that they hit most of the beats that the books have. And I believe it may have had a very similar ending than than the show.
Now, all that said, I would watch a Longmire with Katie Longmire as Sheriff.
My thought was the way they ended it, they could always do mini movies if they wanted to.
Yeah, they can come back and do like a mini series or like made for Netflix movie or something. Yeah, yeah. No, I would watch a 90-minute, you know, crime procedural with Katie Longmire as a kick butt sheriff.
And then she has to ask her dad a couple of things.
Go get the sage advice from the retired treasure hunting dad, like that kind of stuff. And the only thing that didn't make sense to me there was that Katie was never and had never shown any interest in law enforcement. She was a lawyer, public defender, but she just like if at one point earlier on in the show they had established some mysterious past where she was a cop, she hated it, so she quit and became a lawyer. You know, like any kind of history, you know?
It's been a long time since I watched the beginning of the series, but I'm pretty sure there's a couple episodes in the beginning of the series where she wields a gun and scares the crap out of him. And so I think she knew how to handle a firearm and stuff.
Yeah.
Think there was an episode where she came out and helped him with something and he slapped a vest on her. But they haven't touched that in a couple of seasons.
Yeah, like it was certainly not fresh in my mind. So that was one thing that I didn't find very satisfying. I also didn't really like how they kind of forced the relationship with with Victoria and Walt. I mean, you know it's coming. Like I like the really subtle, you're not sure kind of hints that they leave you all season long, the last two seasons, really, which is just good writing.
Yeah.
But that last episode, it felt like they fit like a whole other season of that relationship into like 45 minutes.
It felt like that. And the other thing that if they had started that like middle of the season, I would have felt better about it.
Yeah.
I felt like her boyfriend, maybe father of the baby she lost.
I don't remember his
name. If they had gotten rid of him sooner rather than later, their relationship thing would have made a little more sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, too, that what they, I think, maybe tried to do a little bit with the finale that they didn't really pull off was the passage of time in one episode.
Yes.
Like, I think that was supposed to be weeks, not just, you know, a few days, which is what it felt like.
Well, there's a moment where they have a conversation with somebody and literally we had just finished an episode. You go into the next episode and they talk about something and it was basically in relation to what happened in the previous episode. And Vic makes a comment about, 2 months ago.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
And it's not the last episode. It's one of the last episodes. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to go, oh, okay. It has been like a couple of months. Okay. That makes more sense.
And it's something that I find really difficult when long running shows wrap up with a finale and you're trying to please everybody. You kind of want a happy ending, you know, cause something I do like about Longmire is that generally speaking, he gets the bad guy. So it's a feel good crime drama, right? Like he always gets his man or woman, you know, he always gets the bad guy at the end. And I feel like one of the ways that you can do that very easily, which is not really something I enjoy, is the montage at the end of showing every character that you've gotten to know over the course of the seasons doing something, their thing, you know, whether it's, you know, Henry running the casino or, you know, Walt on his horse looking for treasure. Yeah. Like, and that kind of thing was kind of dumb. It's like, so wait a minute, you just got together with Vic and now you're going, I know that he was just out looking for treasure, but it made it look like he was just leaving. Like, it wasn't like, see you when I get back or I'll be home tonight. It was more like, I'm just going to ride off into the sunset and never come home. Like, it didn't really communicate it very well.
The only thing I will say that from my experience with American geography, Wyoming's a big place.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have a family member who lived there briefly and he said it was the place to go when you didn't want to go anywhere or do anything because there's nothing to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thought was, is he probably rode off into a part of the county that would probably take him about 5 hours by truck to get from his house to there.
Right.
So he probably was going to spend a couple of weeks out in the woods.
Right. Yeah.
And, but they didn't do a good job of explaining.
Yeah. They didn't do a good job of that. But everything else though, like these are small things. You know, it does have a feel good ending. It really.
I love the fact that what's his name, the bartender.
Oh, Henry.
Henry, that Henry ends up running the casino.
At first I was not on board with that, but eventually it makes sense. For his character, yeah.
It makes sense for his character, and I called it about 5 episodes before it happens, before he gets offered the casino. I said, looked at my wife, and I went, so you do know that at some point, he keeps talking to Night Horse. Night Horse is going to give him the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife goes, yeah, you ruined the plots for everything for me, don't you? And I went, yeah. And then lo and behold, it happened. She looked at me, and she went, yeah.
I was disappointed that Night Horse wasn't a bigger bad guy. Like I wanted him to be really sinister.
I since the show began, I've always said he's not nearly as bad as everybody thinks he is. He's not nearly as bad as everybody thinks he is. Mm-hmm. He's that guy that everybody thinks is bad, but he's a bad guy, but he's not the mastermind of anything.
Yeah. There was an episode mid-season where Katie goes after him with a stake. And like beats him. Like I thought that was a dream sequence. It was so out of character and so like left field, like no conversation. She just starts wailing on him with something the size of a baseball bat. I was like, wow, that is like, this guy just cannot win.
Yep.
Yeah. It's still the bad guys in the end though were still dangerous enough. Like I really did get, you know, they were not dumb bad guys. Like they were challenging, and it was satisfying to see the good guys win, because the bad guys were real assholes. Like it was a really very clear line, you know, for everybody else between who was bad, who was good, and stuff like that. I like the pace of the show. Like and not that I want to move to Wyoming, but it does kind of like elicit that cowboy fantasy, you know, like I'm just kind of like being on your own, log cabin, couple of horses, like lots of land.
It's a show that has to take place in Wyoming, mm-hmm. because Wyoming is probably one of the last places in America that's like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I drove through South Utah this summer, and talk about stuff being far apart. Wow. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's also a big state. And you're looking on a map like, okay, wow, that's 5 hours. I can drive from one end of my province to the other in 5 hours. You know, so maybe not north-south, but definitely like east-west, it's only two and a half hours wide. But driving through all that stuff in Utah was crazy. And there's a lot of nothing. Like, you know, you'd look something up on Google Maps and be just like, oh, so that's an hour away. I can see it.
Yet.
Yet here I am driving for the next hour at 90 miles an hour, you know, to try and get there. So that I thought was really interesting. But it's something that they did better when Netflix took over was showing off the scenery, like showing off Wyoming, and showing the different
Netflix
landscapes.
Definitely, I think it was on. Who was it originally? Wasn't an AMC show. It was some weird show. Like TBS or something, that was originally the creator that did the first 2 or 3 seasons.
I thought it was A&E.
That's what it was. It was A&E, and A&E does not have a big budget.
No, and A&E doesn't normally do shows like this either.
Right, and so when Netflix took over, I felt like all of a sudden it was like, oh wait, now this show is going to get the budget it should have gotten to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And speaking of all that, one of the other shows that I'm watching is Godless, because I heard of it. I saw it kind of come into my email saying like, hey, Netflix thinks you might like this show. Probably because I'm watching Longmire. And Godless is another Western, but it's a miniseries. And it's set in Colorado and New Mexico. And same idea. It's the same beautiful scenery and these great big sweeping shots and slow, you know, like watching the cowboy ride through the middle of nowhere for, you know, not a minute, but like a really long shot, you know, long establishing shots and really quiet scenes. And there's something really appealing about that space, you know, that kind of look to things. And Godless is another Western series that I would really highly recommend. Netflix is just knocking it out of the park lately.
Yeah. Yeah. everything I watch on there, like we watched Stranger Things 2 mm-hmm. while, because it came out while we were moving into this house. And so we watched that after we kind of settled in. And that was good. And that was definitely like, oh, wait, they now know what they want. So this has way bigger budget than the last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Netflix is every time a show comes out, I go, yeah, this was on regular TV. Yeah, this doesn't compare to the stuff I'm watching on Netflix or Hulu. Because even Hulu has had some really big stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know the technical stuff behind this, but like when you're putting something out on network television, like you've got Nielsen ratings, you've got public opinion, you've got the general, you know, blogosphere and feedback and stuff like that. But I mean, I would imagine that Netflix has just 100% hard data. Like it's just this many people watched it, period.
Yeah.
This many people started watching it and stopped. And then here's the portion of our subscribers that have not even touched it.
You heard the news this week about Netflix in their The Christmas Prince, right?
No.
Okay. So Netflix did one of those like Hallmark movie, Christmas movies.
Okay.
And it's called I think it's called a Christmas Prince or a Prince for Christmas or something stupid like that.
I might have seen the poster scroll by. I'm
pretty sure you have.
Yeah.
They advertised it for a couple of weeks. And everybody that's watched it has said, you want like Hallmark movies? That's what you're about to get is a Hallmark movie not made by Hallmark. And that it's not good. The acting's kind of mediocre. The plot is the most predictable piece of garbage you've ever seen. Like, you literally know where it's going from the moment it begins, that it's going to have the happy ending you're expecting.
Yeah.
And everybody has said, eh. But Netflix this week tweeted out, to the 53 of you that have watched it over and over and over and over again every day since it came out, we want to know who you are. Please message us.
It's some doctor's waiting room that just has it on repeat.
I don't know, but it was just this random tweet, and now there's people that are getting upset about this and they're being like, Netflix knows how many times I watched a show, and I'm like, of course they do.
Of course they do. Yeah.
They could probably go, oh hey, this person over here, wow, they really like Longmire. He's like, they probably look at me and they go, man, this guy's watched Daredevil season one like 9 times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how they recommend stuff. Imagine that, you know?
But there's people that are upset about this, and I'm like, of course they are. Of course they know. But if you're watching a Hallmark movie 18 times, come on.
Yeah. So I got a question. Do you and Erica share an account, or do you have separate accounts? Profiles, like not an account, but like profiles.
We have separate profiles, and we pretty much use my profile for just about everything. Mm-hmm. Technically speaking, I have 5 profiles.
Wow.
One profile is mine, which is kind of our shared profile. Pretty much anything we both want to watch gets added to that. And then Erica likes a lot of historical dramas and documentaries, stuff I'm not interested in.
Right.
So she has her own account to watch that stuff so that it doesn't screw up our referrals.
And that's why I asked, because like when you start to get into things like the odd documentary or whatever, like all of a sudden your referrals start to be really weird.
Mm-hmm. And I have 2 other accounts, and one's my father-in-law's and one's my dad's. And both of them, they don't really watch Netflix, so it's not worth them paying for an account.
Right.
Like, and I have the account where you can have 3 screens at a time.
Okay.
And I'm guessing my dad probably watches it about once a month. And Erica's dad, it's like once every 6. So I gave them their own accounts, and I'm pretty sure they don't use them that much. But they're there. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 3rd account for just random stuff. Like, if I want to watch something and I don't want it to screw up my referrals, just I'm curious about something. Because every once in a while, Netflix will throw something weird, and I'll be like, I don't know.
And that's what happens to me, because I have a fairly wide range of things that I like. But, you know, I watch a lot of things like, you know, Marvel movies and sci-fi and stuff like that. But then eventually, because it's Canada, I run out of good things to watch on Netflix. And then once the Netflix original series are over, I'm really kind of up a shit creek. And so I'll end up watching something that I don't normally watch, like some indie romantic comedy with, what's his face? The guy that played Harry Potter, you know,
yeah.
And like Daniel Radcliffe, and it's a good movie, and I really enjoyed it. But then it's like Netflix thinks you might like this. It's like, really? Why? And then it's like, right. 2 weeks ago, I watched that one indie film.
The worst thing they did was get rid of the star system and add the thumbs up, thumbs down.
So I still have the star system.
Oh, here in America, we don't have that anymore.
I'm on a really old Apple TV. Maybe it's, the interface?
No, it's on their website and everything here in America. Hmm. They did away with the stars. You have to just give things a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Hmm.
And I hate it because I used to be like, it's okay. And I'd give it a 3-star. And now it's like, no, I have to give it a thumbs down or I have to give it a thumbs up.
Right.
So it's either yes or no. And if I enjoyed it in any way, shape or form, I feel obligated to say yes. So I get lots of garbage referred to me now, and I'm like, I don't like this.
See, and this is the thing. I mean, I have the same problem with the star system in that I don't know what is a no. Like, is a 2 a no? Is a 3 a no? Like, what do I have? I never give everything 5 because, most of the stuff lately has not been phenomenal. So it's like, well, you know, if I really like something or if it's the second time I've watched it, it usually gets a 4-star. You know, like, or, for example, if it's something that I've seen in theaters already, like, say, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then I watch that. It's like, sweet. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, before I delete this off of my list, I should probably give it a rating so that, you know, to feed the Netflix beast. And so I'll give it, 4-star. Because it's a 4-star movie. It's not perfect. I can't necessarily think of something that I would have given a 5-star. Probably the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But that, but that's the caliber that I'm at, you know, in terms of that gets the 5. Right. So then everything else is either that or not. So, if you're not the Lord of the Rings for me, then, you know, you're not getting a 5-star. But I also find that I have that thing with you where I liked it. I didn't dislike it. So everything gets a 3 kind of by default, except for there was one Netflix original thing that was about really weird psycho stuff. She was a girl that was blind that could see again. Do you remember that? What that was called?
Do you remember
that series where she was locked in a glass room in the basement and she was recanting this to a bunch of people in an attic? Anyway, people listening will probably know what I'm talking about. It got a 1 because it was terrible. Same thing with the one.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I didn't watch it.
The Wachowski twins, that other one, that 9 Senses or whatever that one was.
Yeah,
that also got 2. I can look at it and I can say, okay, it's well made, but it is not for me. And I think that's the confusing thing, too, is that it's a 5-star system, but you're not saying this is necessarily a crappy movie. It's just that it's not from you, right?
Right.
So it's hard to because I get into I feel bad because someone created this and it's obviously a lot of work went into this but it's still not good. So so that those 2s and 1s I feel awful. And no one cares. No, no one at Netflix is going, uh-oh, Joel gave it a 2. Everybody, it's
No, you're literally just a number to them.
Exactly. So. But I don't know, I've got a bunch of stuff that's been on my watch list forever. I never seem to get through it because as soon as I finish, and this is what I mean by Netflix coming at us fast and furious with these original content things. I finished Longmire and I was like, oh, I should go to my list and start watching some of the other stuff that I've bookmarked. I haven't seen Jurassic Park in forever and it's on Netflix now. So that would be an easy way to watch that. Haven't got to it because then I notice Godless or I notice, something else. The Crown is out this week. And I get in these distracting kind of Netflix original things that I like, you know?
Exactly. In fact, the thing that I thought was a lie is I've been paying for Stars for the last year because my wife likes Erica likes what's that show that everybody likes? The time travel one that it takes place in Scotland.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. It's on Netflix as well here in Canada. It's got 2 seasons. You keep talking, I'll Google it.
But that show's on Stars here, so I have to get it. And I also like Ash versus Evil Dead, and that's a Stars show. So what else was a Stars show? American Gods was a Stars show. So I've been paying for Stars for a year for that. Mm. And then I got a thing in my email today, yesterday, I think, from Netflix being like, hey, did you like Ash versus Evil Dead? You can cancel your Stars account. It's going to be on Netflix. And I was like, oh, great. Thanks.
So Outlander is the Scottish show you're talking about. That's on Netflix.
I wanted to say Highlander, but it's
No Sean Connery in this one. It would be way more interesting if it was Highlander. Actually, Outlander. I've watched Outlander. It's a good show.
It's not bad. Yeah. I watch an episode here and there with her, but how many seasons
is it now?
I think they just wrapped up season 3.
Okay, so season 1 and 2 are on Netflix in Canada. The Ash Versus the Evil Dead is on Netflix in Canada.
Okay, that just got added then.
Yeah, yeah. I got the email like the other day. And again, probably because I watch Stranger Things would probably be why they're recommending that, because I don't watch horror movies at all.
So, if you've ever liked like Army of Darkness or whatnot, it's pretty much a continuation of that.
Yeah, not my thing. Not my thing at all. I do recommend Godless, though. I don't want to get too into it because I know Brockett really wants to talk about it because he's watched the whole series.
I don't know. I don't know anything that hasn't been talked about on a few podcasts where they've mentioned the basic premise of the show. And other than that, I've been like, okay, I'm just going to add this to my list. And when I have a free minute, that's what I'm going to watch.
Yeah. So the one thing for me that was a surprise that's not at all a spoiler is that Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey, she played Mary in Downton Abbey.
Yep.
She's in the show. She plays Alice. I don't remember Alice's last name. But you kind of just, you know, there's a couple of bits of media and you kind of get the idea that everybody in the show is tough as nails. But she in this show is tough as nails. And it is awesome. Like, she's a good actor anyway. I'm a fan. But there's just these moments of her with a cowboy hat and this dirty dress and a rifle that's bigger than she is. And like, there is just something about the way that she's playing it and the camera angles and cinematography and everything. And it is just badass. And already there's with Jeff Bridges in there and a couple of other really good actors and a couple of people that I have no idea who they are, but they're also very good. It just has this pathos to it. Like there's a slow pace. It helps if you've just watched Longmire because it's a Western. So you kind of go into that with that mentality of a slower kind of draw for the plot. But once things pick up, it starts to pick up in kind of a, I don't want to say Game of Thrones way, because that kind of says like, you know, lots of people start dying and that's not what I mean. But it has this twist to it and this unique way of storytelling. It is not a show where you sit there and kind of go, I know how this is going to go. It's like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. I wonder how this is going to go. Like, and so you're there and you find yourself watching these like 90 minute episodes because it takes them that long to tell you how this is going to end up. That is something that I like it so much that I've not even let myself watch an entire episode in one sitting. I tend to watch half of an episode and then take a break and then I'll finish it later that day. Like I want to savor it, cause there's only like 6, maybe 7.
Yeah.
Cause they're longer. So I'm really looking forward to finishing that, and I would highly recommend it. And we will get into more of it probably next time when I talk to Brockett on the show, but I would recommend that. Anything that you have watched that you want to say, like give a strong recommendation to?
It's a comic book related. So speaking of comic book stuff, which I think we've done a little bit, Runaways just showed up on Hulu. I don't know if you're getting it in Canada or where you're getting it.
I've seen the advertisements. I know Amazon Prime just became available in Canada. I haven't explored that yet. I don't know what that involves or what's on there.
Like I said, here in America, it's on Hulu. So I can imagine you guys might be getting it on Netflix up there.
Maybe.
But it's done by Marvel as well. I believe it's the same production team that's doing the Netflix stuff.
Okay.
But it is – I don't want to say it's a more kid – a kid-directed show, but the heroes are all teenagers. And the idea is that they all live in Beverly Hills, and they're all, like, come from a wealthy families, and they're all used to be friends, and over time, their families are friends, but they're not really friends anymore. And one night, they stumble upon something with their family and find out that their family basically might be supervillains.
Nice.
And not in a comedic way. Like, they literally watch their family, their mothers and fathers kill somebody.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
and they go, oh crap, what was that?
Right.
And the rest of the show, I think they just did episode 6 out of like 12 episodes. They're literally trying to come to terms with, are our parents bad, or were they doing something we didn't understand what they were doing? Because there is a little bit of a sci-fi aspect to the show, and they're like, wait a minute. And so they're all kind of like asking their parents questions without trying to get caught that they saw what they shouldn't have seen. And each one of the kids slowly begins to realize they have a gift. One girl realizes that she's like Dazzler from the Marvel comics, X-Men. And another one realizes that her parents have somehow resurrected a dinosaur in the basement. her parents are geneticists.
Right.
And they realize there's a locked room in the basement and there's a raptor in the basement. And they realize she can talk to it and it does what she wants it to do. And so now it's like her pet.
Oh, cool.
And one other girl realizes she has super strength, but it tires her out when she uses it. The kid that's the jock, you realize he's actually the smartest of the group. And like his gift is that like he can build things and do stuff. And he takes after his father, who's a Steve Jobs kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
And like each one of them has a role, and they all decide they're going to use their gifts basically to prove that their parents are evil.
So it's like the ultimate comic teenage rebellion.
Yeah, and it's based on a Marvel comic, and the Marvel comic is considered to be really, really good.
I saw some hubbub around it, you know, podcasts and Instagram and stuff like that. Some people are posting and saying, you know, like, and they're obviously excited about it because they're fans of the comic book.
And they do the thing where the kids are teenagers, but they're not dumbing it down for you as a viewer.
Right.
You know, like they're not explaining to you things. Like at one point, like there is a couple of jokes that make reference to like stuff from the 80s, and the kids are like, yeah, those old movies, you know.
But
all stuff that has teenagers does that.
Yeah, because they're millennials, and you want to throw them in front of a bus.
Exactly, they do such a good job of like making you identify with each one of the kids that you go, oh, he's the smart one, okay. No, wait, no, he's not the smart one. Oh, okay.
Oh, and like, okay, yeah.
And you realize that each one of them has their own personality, and they all are trying to make adult decisions, but, you know, aren't qualified to make adult decisions.
Yeah, yeah. World at stake, but we're teenagers.
Yeah. And yeah, one of them is like the diehard feminist, and as the show goes on, she's realizing, oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be such a jerk to people about this stuff. you're six episodes in, and you're like each one of them is slowly making a personality change as each episode goes on. And you're like, okay, this show is not what I was expecting it to be.
I like stuff like that. I like it when they take archetypes and kind of flip them on their heads. And
yeah.
I was rolling my eyes when I saw the trailer for the new Jumanji movie, and I still won't go see it, but
nope.
Once they kind of explained that it's these teenagers that have been put into these different characters and they're gender bending. So like,
yeah,
Jack Black is a teenage girl in like a middle-aged man's body. And yeah, that to me, it was surprising in a way. Like, I wouldn't still go see it in theater, but if that comes on Netflix and I'm bored, like, I might actually watch that because it's probably entertaining. It's probably got
There's a couple of things on Netflix that I've added to my list that I've been like, this is not something I'm really excited to see, but if I'm bored some afternoon and sitting on the couch, or I'm playing video games and I just need something to play in the background, I'll put it on. But
yeah, it gets different points for me. It's like, okay, good. It's not just your average, you know, Hollywood car chase movie. Like, you know, it's got some different elements and stuff to it. And I mean, I find Dwayne Johnson very entertaining. I'll probably watch him in just about anything. But that kind of thing to me gets a little bit of an eyebrow raise, you know, pardon the pun. When it's got some cool twist to it, you know, so like superhero archetypes were like, this guy is the big muscle guy, but he's the brains of the operation, not the Superman character, you know, like that kind of stuff. Those kind of like changing hero archetypes and kind of moving things around, I find really interesting. I think it's one of the reasons why I really like some of the character traits of the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's I don't like the awkward anti-hero stuff in there, but I do like the fact that they're different, you know, like they've got either specific powers or no powers, or they're just kind of off the rocker. But they have this kind of different approach to the superhero genre. And I think that's it's what I find so interesting about it, and why the characters I find so interesting, because they don't have that clear cut, character statement like Superman, Batman, you know, Wonder Woman. Like you go in knowing exactly what they stand for. Which, I mean, can also be good because it's familiar and there's a place for those kind of things too. But yeah, like, so I think anything that's got that kind of a different twist is something I might want to check out. So I'm going to look up to see if there's a way for me to watch.
Erica was always down for watching superhero stuff. But then when she saw they were all teenagers, she went, I don't know. And I'm like, give it one episode.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the episode, it ends on kind of a cliffhanger, and she went, tell me that they put out more than one episode. And I was like, yeah, they put out three.
Nice.
And the only thing that I don't like that Hulu's doing with it is they're doing the week. They put out two episodes, and then the next week they put out like two more episodes, and then now they're going week to week.
Yeah. Well, I can appreciate the experimentation of trying to get people hooked and then going back to your weekly schedules and stuff like that.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I have enough self-control that I don't necessarily binge things anymore, so...
We don't usually, but we'll watch, like, two episodes.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, I guess I gotta wait till next week.
Yeah, I'm okay with weekly. I mean, weekly on demand is fine by me. It's still the same $10 a month on Netflix, you know, like, if it's something that comes out weekly, just give me a heads up. Like, just... And I've seen that where Netflix will say, like, you know, new episodes weekly on the app. And they're just like, sweet. All right, fine. So I'll watch one and then I'll know another one's coming. And if you add it to your list, they say, like, new episodes, like, it'll put a little tag on it. And, like, that's fine by me. I'm perfectly happy with that. If that's how people want to roll it, you know. I like the fact that something like Godless that's got six episodes is all available, you know, however I want to watch it. I do, but I do like the ability to not have to think about what I'm watching. Like, if I find a good series and it's all there, sweet. No more decisions for the next couple of days. I just hit next. Like, I don't have to worry about what I'm watching. You know, if I'm chilling out in the evening, I can just kind of move on to something. So, speaking about moving on, we should probably wrap things up and get into the Internet Minute, which is brought to you by Patreon. Or not Patreon, but you, the patrons. If you go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe, you can find out how to become a patron, how to support the show. If you do that, then you get an entry into the Discord-only Patreon chat, so that's always a fun time. Been hanging out with MattCast in Minecraft lately. There's been a little bit of chatter in the main channel about some cool Netflix shows and what people have been watching and going into the holidays and stuff like that, so having a lot of fun there. I'm looking for ideas for the new year on how to improve the Patreon page, so if you have some thoughts, if you're a patron, I would love to hear from you. If you are not a patron yet and you have some ideas, then please also drop us a line at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. But patreon.com/thecitadelcafe is probably the best way to support the show in any way. Now, I know in the news that there has been a lot of hubbub about Patreon changing the way that they're processing fees lately. There was just an email that hit my inbox today, and it was Patreon saying, sorry, we screwed up. We didn't necessarily think this through. We're going to hold off on implementing these changes until we can sort out something that works for everybody. So I've been holding off saying anything about the changes on Patreon because I knew that this was enough of a storm that there's going to be some adjustments. So I figured rather than just kind of like having this loopy conversation over and over again, I would wait. And once I knew that this announcement was coming, this kind of like backtrack, I knew that I was just going to wait until this week. So there were some proposed changes. If you're interested in those, you can look them up. I'm sure they're all over the internet. But for now, Patreon is going to act the same way that it has been continuing to work. So it is just a matter of supporting the show in a dollar per show fashion, or more if you want. There's also a way to limit your spending per month. So some people don't necessarily know that, but if you back the show for a dollar an episode, but you don't want to do four episodes a month, you can cap your monthly spending at any amount. So you can just do a dollar a month. You just get billed for the first episode, and then everything else is just kind of not happening because you've set your restrictions. So there is still some flexibility as it stands right now with Patreon. So if you'd like to support the show, then I really appreciate it, because this time of year, because we started the Sigil Cafe in November, the Sigil Cafe website renewal and hosting renewal and all that kind of stuff usually comes up at around November, December. So I use the money that comes in from Patreon to pay for all that. And so that keeps, you know, the show hosted on the air and all that kind of stuff. And I really appreciate it. So a big thank you to everybody that's currently supporting the show, because it really helps things. So I unfortunately don't have a pick this week, but you, sir, do. And I've seen it, so I'm excited to talk about it.
So if you haven't heard or heard of Ready Player One, it was originally a book. It's deep, heavy in 80s nostalgia, and they put out a trailer a couple of, maybe 6 months ago, that didn't really explain anything about the plot. Just showed you some cool action scenes.
I think it was Comic-Con. I think they did a trailer at Comic-Con.
Yeah, and the trailer was kind of cool, but it left me as a fan of the book going, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then they put out a new trailer this week. And they're calling it the official trailer and not the teaser that the last trailer was. And now I'm hyped. Now I'm really excited.
Yeah, it looked really good.
And so just so you know what the basic premise is it takes place 35 years in the future, I think.
Yep.
And everybody basically, the world has gone to crap. And everybody kind of lives vicariously through their VR headset in a program called the Oasis. And when the guy who created the Oasis dies, he announces that he's left an Easter egg hidden inside the game that you need, I think it's 5 keys to unlock the Easter egg. And the person that finds all 5 keys and unlocks the Easter egg will own the Oasis and be able to do with it whatever they want. And corporations get involved because corporations want the keys so that they can take the Oasis and finally charge for this free service that everybody's getting. And this one lone kid ends up on an adventure to save the Oasis. And it's really awesome.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal. And it is filled with all this 80s nostalgia stuff.
Well, the interesting thing that they've done with the movie that I think they haven't done a good job of explaining is I don't think they're going to do the 80s nostalgia thing in the movie alone. I think there's going to be a lot of just pop culture references in general.
Oh, okay.
The book is heavily related to the 80s. I'm guessing that they're changing a bunch of the plot. I know that the script was written by the original author.
Oh, cool.
So he adapted everything.
Very, very cool.
So I'm guessing any changes he made them because he felt that it fit film better.
Yeah. And so, I mean, to kind of give you a flavor, if you haven't seen it, it's things like seeing the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, the DeLorean from Back to the Future, King Kong, and Tracer from Overwatch. All in the same shot. Like all in the same sort of thing. Because of this virtual world. Like basically it's kind of like anything can happen. And so people that are fans of things, they create, you know, these images in the VR world. Again, it's such an interesting premise.
And the one thing that they're not really hyping on is that this is also a Spielberg movie.
Yeah. Which is, because really, if this was coming out, and I was like, well, it kind of looks like it's worth a watch. But knowing that Spielberg is directing it and not just like a producer tag, really has me interested. Like that to me is like, okay, wait a minute.
The only thing that has me bummed out is Spielberg, his films are actually almost like a character in one arc of the storyline.
Yeah.
And he announced one of the first things he said when he took over the being a director was he was going to have that stuff not be in the story for the movie because he didn't want to make reference to himself within the film.
Mm.
Which I can understand, but also kind of bummed me out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's still going to be a lot of fun. Like, I think it's going to be a cool action drama, lots of sci-fi fun stuff happening. But I also think that there's just going to be a lot of, like, little moments that are going to last 3 seconds, you know, with, like, you know, Zangief from, like, Street Fighter. And you're just going to, like, that's hilarious, you know?
Yes.
Just little moments, I think, are going to be these little gems. Like, similar to how Pixar does, like, the adult jokes or the jokes aimed at the adults. Not that they're, like, you know, inappropriate, but like the things that go over the heads of the kids. I think that this movie is going to be filled with it. Ernest Cline, I think, is the author and the screenplay guy. I agree. I think it looks really good. It's nice to see something new. Like, I'm glad it's, you know, I'm not watching a trailer for Transformers 7, you know, it's nice to see new stuff like that being there. Speaking of, there were no Transformers in this. I did not see any Transformers in this.
I know that they tried to get as many rights to everything that they could.
Yeah.
So you just have to assume whatever they didn't get rights to was something that either was too expensive or...
Yeah. Or it would be cool. Like, it's too bad that they could get stuff because, like, you'd have things like Hasbro would probably be quite willing to throw their hat in the ring in certain things, in certain places. But... then you've also got Hasbro, and who produces Transformers? Paramount? I can't remember. Anyway, basically, if the big wigs feel like, you know, having a penis contest, you know, and saying like, well, we're not going to let you do that just because we don't really feel like it, then you get this whole other problem. Because
I can imagine if you're smart, your thing is not going to be in this film for more than maybe two scenes.
Yeah,
like the trailer has Tracer.
Yeah,
from Overwatch, and I'm guessing that's the only time Tracer appears in the entire thing.
Yeah,
I'm guaranteeing that Tracer is not a character in this.
No, no,
that it's just some skin that some character is running by in, which is fine and it's awesome. But I can imagine that Blizzard was like, "Yeah, you don't even need to pay us for this. This is free publicity."
I mean, she's in the trailer for a half a second, and the internet went nuts. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think highly, definitely worth checking out both the teaser and the trailer. I would watch them both. They if you watch them back to back, it does kind of make sense.
Yeah. But I would watch them in reverse. Watch the trailer and then the teaser.
Yeah.
And then you go, "Oh, I get the plot now." Yeah. Oh, this, I want to know where this all fits into the plot.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Citadel Cafe. You can find everything that we are talking about on thecitadelcafe.com. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. Email us, as I mentioned earlier, at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am up to online at joelduggan.com. You can find myself on social media, posting pictures of pancakes on Instagram with just my name. I also post art and show notes and things like that too, but mostly it's pancakes, I have to confess. And there's probably going to be lots of turkey dinner shots coming up because it's the holidays and I like art and food, so they both tend to hit my feeds. That's it for me, Lou. Where can people find you and the stuff that you're doing online?
The easiest place to find me is on Twitter. I am at Busy Zombie Lord, and you can check out my show, Zombies Ate My Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on everything.
You have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.